Good morning. This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 14, John 14, 1 through 6. You can follow above or you can look on in the scriptures that are provided in the pew. Y'all know that song, Heaven is a Wonderful Place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. One of the beauties of the gospel is it always propels us forward, heavenward. Would you pray with me and we'll consider God's word together. Father, we're thankful that heaven is filled with your glory and grace. Would you fill our souls with it this morning, that we might delight to see you as you are, that we might delight to see ourselves truly in the promises of Christ. Would you help us, Father, to hear and receive and do that which is pleasing to us. And so, Father, this word, which is constantly and consistently true for us, open it to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. John 14, the words of Jesus to his disciples on the eve of the Last Supper. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The word of our God. Some scholars have likened this world to a great hole. A great hole that we can't get out of, a great pit that has mankind in it. And in that pit, there is a great viper. That great viper would seek to undo us. And the religions of the world have tried to explain how we are to handle that viper. If it is the pain and evil and death that world brings, how are we going to handle it? Hinduism says that that we need to meditate more, that viper is in some sense an illusion, and we need to think better, think clearer, then we'll be free. Buddhism also calls us to see it in a different way. We need to just get our head on right. We need to clear our minds. We need to resist. Become free of it. Confucianism says the way around the evil and pain in the world, this great viper, is to gain knowledge, to gain wisdom, to find the rules and follow them. Islam says that the reason we struggle with evil and pain is because we do not obey, and so the life must be one of surrender. But Christianity sees that problem and our predicament in a different way. Instead of seeking to make our way free of pain or make our way toward God, God comes to us. How does God answer the predicament of the viper in the great hole? Jesus comes. Jesus descends. And Jesus takes the curse and the bite of the viper. All the venom of that pain and evil and death is poured into Him, and He bridges our way to freedom. And Jesus is explaining that to His disciples today. He's explaining that the cross will be the means by which God comes and God redeems. And so He must go away. Now, the disciples are heart-stricken at this. They have given their lives to following Jesus. They are concerned about His departure. And Jesus calls them away from trouble and into trust. Jesus calls His disciples away from trouble and into trust. And you know, that's what he does with us today. Again and again, he calls us away from trouble into trust. The troubles that plague our soul, the only answer for those troubles is trust in the one who has the end in sight. Trust in Christ. We have troubles, don't we? Some of you have troubles now. There's sickness in your home. There's the trouble of bodies falling apart. Some of you have troubles in your life. There are big decisions to be made. Maybe it has to do with family or job or relationships and other venues of life. Troubles abound. But where every trouble abounds, there is the opportunity to trust that God has our future and today in His hands. And that's the heart of Jesus for His disciples. As He prepares for the cross, as His disciples prepare for the feelings of loss, Jesus is encouraging them. You see, trust in Jesus is the answer to our troubles. And He teaches them about their home. Home, you ever feel alone? You ever feel lost in this world? Does it ever feel like it just doesn't quite fit? I don't know about you, but I have that feeling at least once a week. I have that feeling where things just don't quite measure up. I want it to be a little more. And that's because this world where we reside is not the fullness of home for the believer. There is more to come, and Jesus is teaching His disciples about hope in home. That's what heaven is. Heaven is home for the believer. Heaven is the place where we will enjoy Jesus. And so heaven is home. Heaven is a certainty to settle our hearts in uncertain times. It's the hope of heaven that sustains us. Now this passage is one that has a rich history to it. Jesus is not just speaking without a context here. He is speaking in a context to His disciples of something of permanence and presence. Heaven is a place where the person, Jesus, will reside and there will be permanence and presence with Him. Actually, there's a metaphor here that would have been common in Jesus' day, and Jesus is drawing upon it. In the ancient Near East, when a man wanted to marry a woman, there was a very distinctive ritual, and part of how that ritual worked is that after the man had asked for the hand in marriage, he would begin preparations. He would begin preparations on home. He would go to his father's house and they would begin to build a room on the house. Yes, the married couple lived with their parents. That was how you survived. The family stuck together in ancient Near Eastern cultures. And so they would build a room on the house and not until that room was fully prepared and the father had checked off on it, was the approval made, was the bride brought home. Now, think about that in the context of what's going on in Jesus' mind here. Heaven for the believer. Heaven is a great marriage where God makes us His bride and He brings us, prepares us, and prepares the place to bring us home. And that's the heart of Jesus in His text. How is He encouraging us? In the uncertainty of the days, He is bringing the certainty of permanence of the end. Heaven is a place where Jesus reigns and where the believer enjoys the benefits of the Savior. So Jesus can come and say, heaven is real. Heaven is relationship. Heaven is redemption for your soul. Notice this morning the reality of heaven. Heaven is real. There in verses 1 and 2, notice the text. Let not your heart be troubled. The world's a precarious place, isn't it? There are troubles all around us. And isn't it interesting? Let not your hearts be troubled. There are troubles at every step for us. And as soon as we deal with one trouble, it's like there are two troubles knocking at the door. They just seem to be manifold. The world is a precarious place. But Jesus' point here is that heaven is a prepared place. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you." You see, the world is a precarious place, but heaven is a prepared place. Jesus has prepared a place to abide with us and for us to abide with Him. Here is a place of permanence where we will dwell. Heaven is real. And so when we cast our hope forward, when we cast our hope on Jesus, we're casting our hope on what Jesus has for us. Relationship, reality, redemption before the throne of God. And we are there to worship, but we are there to dwell. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some of you will remember the old translations, many mansions. I like many rooms because we are going to abide together. The beauty of heaven is the reality of togetherness. So you see, heaven is relationship, and that's what Jesus wants to drive home with His disciples here. Notice there in verse 3, He is driving home the relationship. Heaven is real, but heaven is relationship. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself." The goal of heaven is to bring us home. You see, it's a personal place. I will come to you again, and I will bring you to myself. You know what the best part of heaven is? The best part of heaven is being in the presence of God without the constraints of sin in our relationship, without struggle or failure. There will be presence there. Relationship there. Why would Jesus go to the cross? Yes, to pay for our sin. But yes, to bring us home. To draw us near. To cancel a debt. To draw us in that we may reside with Him. You see, heaven is a presence place. It's prepared that we may truly enjoy the presence of Jesus. That's what the disciples are having a hard time grasping here. You know, some of the most confusing part of the text for many is Philip's question. You know, what's going on with Philip here? Is he just a little deft? Is he ignorant? No, he's heard some of these things, but he's feeling a sense of loss. Notice there in verse four, after Jesus has said that He will go and come again. And so Jesus says to them, "And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas says to Him, Philip's a little later, sorry, Thomas is first here. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life." You see, what Jesus is saying there is that presence is a person. You know, Thomas is worried about Siri, whether she'll get it right. He doesn't want to lose sight of the Savior. He's worried about the GPS system, whether he can get directions and find Jesus again. I mean, Thomas longs to be with the Lord. That's a good thing. And yet he's afraid he won't know the way. You know, there are some of us in the room, we never get lost. And there are some of us in the room, we get lost even when we're going where we go every day. And maybe Thomas is one of those guys who fears that the directions just might not be clear enough. And Jesus' response to him is that it's not just a path, it's a person. You see, heaven is a place and a person. And Jesus says to him, "I am the way." There is this sense in which the personal presence of Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the God triune, is what makes heaven what it is. Now, I often hear people talk about what they look forward to when they get to heaven. Any of y'all got a list? Some of us got a list of things we look forward to when we get to heaven. But I promise you, the best thing about heaven will be being in the presence of God. It is relationship. And the best of relationship here, those that we long to make acquaintances with again, that will be sweet, but sweeter still will be the true delight of being in the presence of God. Unfettered, unadulterated, resting and basking in the worship and glory of God because He relates to us. Heaven's a reality that we want. And heaven is a relationship that we need because Jesus is redemption that ends our struggle. Notice in the text here in verse 6, heaven is real, heaven is a relationship, but heaven is redemption. That's at the heart of what Jesus is saying here. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. You see, the path is a person. When Jesus says, I am the way, he is saying that there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. There's a sense of exclusiveness here. That's hard for some, but it's really a joy for us as we understand the inclusivity of Jesus offering himself to bring us home. That by faith, when we receive the work of another in our place, Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, we are receiving a way. I am the way. Jesus doesn't just give directions. He is our direction. I am the truth. The path is a person, but the precept is a person. Jesus is the very self-disclosure of God. Jesus is truth revealed. He is God to us, Emmanuel. And if we have the way and the truth, we shall have life. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus means here that there is no lasting, no real life without the life of Christ at work in our hearts. Without the life of Christ at work in our midst. And Jesus calls. You see how Jesus cares for his disciples? As a father cares for his child, as one who works and gives and receives, Jesus gives his best for brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus gives his best that we may enjoy the inheritance that is rightfully his. You see, heaven has no troubles because God has absolute reign there. Heaven has no troubles because God reigns in every corner, in every way. In the wholeness of relationship and redemption that transforms us. I love that scene in The Last Battle in Narnia. I knew we were going to speak on heaven today. John's already got my notes, so he'll change his communion meditation. Narnia in The Last Battle when Jewel the Unicorn makes the way into the new Narnia from old Narnia. As the old Narnia has passed away and as Tyrion and the seven, Edmund and Lucy and others, as they're making their way into the new Narnia, Jewel the Unicorn says this, I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. The reason why I love the old Narnia is that it is sometimes looked a little like this. And then with a bray, come further up, come further in. Everything we long for is summed up in the presence and the permanence of God giving us Himself in what is to come in life eternal in heaven. You know, we all have to struggle with death, with pain, with evil, with sin. And we can't bargain our way out of death, but God will bring us through it to life eternal. There is this constant hope for us that we have one greater than our struggle, one greater than our problems and sin, one who has overcome them. And in this land, there will be no pain, no hurt, no loss. And so the goal is to keep our eye on the prize because the hope of heaven untroubles our hearts. The hope of heaven untroubles our hearts. You know, where troubles grab hold, where fears and anxieties strangle, the goal is to look up to God and look forward in God's presence. There are times when the world will seek to trap you in the difficulties of the day, in the hardships of relationship, in the minutiae of all the work that is to be done in a fallen world. Do you know what encourages the heart? Jesus is one. The victory is sure. Home is secure. There is hope for home that is ours. And that strengthens us amidst the hardships of the day. You see, faith matters. Because heaven is a reality. Heaven is relationship. Heaven is redemption for our soul. We can hold strong now because of what's promised in our eternal tomorrow. And that's the beauty of what God gives us. Not personally, but even corporately. That we have a vision, a God-shaped, God-given vision for a community together. That we can show one another the beauty of this marriage for eternity. And the world around us this beauty of marriage forever. That faith would be emboldened in our lives. That it would be emboldened in our hearts that we might follow Him closely. I have to look for it here, but I have a quote from the great Puritan, Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson is a man who was a great preacher and a great preacher with analogy. And at one point, speaking on heaven in his book, The Godly Man's Picture, a story of moving towards heaven, he writes this. An ignorant man looks at the stars, and it appears to him like a little silver spot. But the astronomer, who has his instrument to judge the dimensions of a star, knows that to be many degrees bigger than the earth. So the natural man hears of the heavenly country that is very glorious, but it is at a great distance. And because he has no spirit of discernment, the world looks bigger in his eyes. But such is a spiritual artist who has the instrument of faith to judge heaven, will say that it is a far better country and that they will hasten to a far better way and desire, and that sails are set on those desires. You get what Watson is telling us there? By faith, we have the instrument that shows us the grandness of God and His design. You know, the goal of heaven is to captivate us with the glory of God. The goal of faith is to trust Him now. Till faith becomes sight, we delight in the promises of Jesus who will bring us home. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that You are a God of truth, a God of life, a God who provides the way that we may come to You. And so, Father, would You give us hope in the One who provides, Jesus, that by Your Spirit today we might be well supplied with the hopes of heaven, that we might draw near. Father, thank You for Your kindness to us. And help us. Help us to receive the grace that sustains in this day, even as we gaze and long for home to come. Father, give us security. Give us hope. Give us joy in all Your promises to come. Father, we long for that day when we will see You face to face. But in these days, as we live by faith, would You secure us in the work of Christ that we might have grand hope of all that is to come? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.